I've been looking forward to this reading because I saw the place. I'm back from traveling in Israel and Palestine and Jordan on a spiritual pilgrimage. And one of the things I learned that helped me the most was to keep in mind the difference between tourism and pilgrimage. And so I'm going to talk about pilgrimage as it applies to us, but I'm going to get there through this story. The program I participated in was a two-week journey through many sites in the Holy Land, in both the Palestinian territories and Israel. And to get us in that frame of mind, the retreat leader had some questions for us at the beginning. Each day we would have a lecture on what we were going to see, what the history of the stories was, something about the historical reliability of the place itself. And then we would go to these places and tell those stories and then have time to reflect on them. Now, I said there's a difference between pilgrimage and tourism, and they stressed to us that tourism isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. It has its place. And when we floated in the Dead Sea, that was definitely tourism. But the pilgrimage started with the retreat leader's question, what do you hope to get out of this time being here? And I didn't have an answer. The problem was I had had previous visits to the Holy Land that really felt more like tourism, with tourist stands and aggressive sales reps and stories that weren't as connected to the places. And so I found that for this two-week journey, my question was often, why am I here? And that question became a bit more complicated with each place. Does this place matter? And I realized that over years of preaching sermons, I haven't really thought much about the places. It's almost like the stories exist without the places, and maybe you have that experience sometimes too. The story is the story, and you don't particularly think about the place where it happened. And then we came to this particular place. Sychar is a neighborhood of the current city of Nablus, and we went to the well. And as the tour leader said, once there is a well, they don't move around casually. Wells tend to stay where they are. And so this was most certainly the well of Jacob. Now, there are other sites where the historical reliability was more in question, and I'm going to show some of those in the slides after the service. But this one was, it happened here. And so we were there looking down at this well, and it had a modern pulley and a modern rope and a modern bucket. Like, you had to get yourself in the mind of, this is the place, but the details didn't feel like the details of your Bible pictures. I took my turn sending the bucket down into the well and pulling up the water. And I even had a drink of the water, and I decided there was nothing special about that water. There were a few people on the tour that had brought water bottles because they wanted to take some of that water home to their people. And I thought that was a bit sentimental because the water was just water. And in fact, the water that should matter is the water that's gushing up to eternal life, not this water. This is the water that Jesus said, that's not the water that matters. He also told her that the place didn't matter. Whether the worship was going to happen on the mountain or in Jerusalem, eventually worship must be in spirit and in truth. And so that was a part of my journey of, well, does the place matter? If Jesus is saying it doesn't matter if it's the mountain or Jerusalem, it's got to be in spirit and in truth. And I think seeing these places probably seeing them in an order and telling the story at each one helped me to appreciate the story's matter. And in that sense, the places really did matter to me. But I want to talk about pilgrimage for us, which is that we tell stories in a similar way to how in the Holy Land we went from place to place and retold stories. We go from Sunday to Sunday telling stories. We go through seasons telling stories. It's almost like we've come together and we're the pilgrims together. And so I want to think about that water gushing up to eternal life as if we were the pilgrims. And that happens to us in a particular place, in a particular time. We're located in a peaceful, less complicated place than Israel and Palestine. And I felt the weight of it being complicated quite a lot. When I was asked at the end of the session, what was different being on the pilgrimage, I said, wow, my life at home feels way less complicated than being here. We live in a peaceful, prosperous place. We are surrounded by diversity in a Canadian city. And so when we talk about pilgrimage, let's take into account that we are also surrounded by people who aren't sitting here with us, but also have their own sense of what pilgrimage is. And I want to refer to two of them. This week, our Hindu neighbors celebrated Holi. And I don't know if you know what it is, but it's a very joyful celebration, almost like paintball without the balls. You throw paint at people, and people are showered with colors. And it's a celebration of spring, and maybe brings to mind, you know, the colorful flowers. But it also has a background story that comes out of Hindu religion, which is that there are two gods, Krishna, who fell in love with Radha. And Krishna was afraid that Radha would reject him because of his dark skin. His mother was tired of seeing him mope around and told him that he should offer her that she could paint him in any colors she wished. And they went on to become a couple and live happily ever after. Now, when people celebrate Holi, they're really focused on spraying that paint. But underneath, there's this uncomfortable story about color racism. And maybe the gift of being in a community that also has our Hindu pilgrims around us is that that means they're dealing with their underlying prejudices. And that's something we share in wanting to recognize about ourselves. The gift of being in a community where there are Hindu people is they're also helping us to remind us to think about our unexamined prejudices. This week, our Jewish neighbors celebrated Purim. And Purim is also a fun, loving celebration. People wear masks and costumes, but there's a story behind this one as well. The biblical book for Purim is Esther. And the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention God. Our Jewish friends and sisters and brothers take this as a call to reveal where God has been unnamed or unspoken. And we happen to live in a modern society where God is often not named and not spoken. And then the challenge is, how do we name where God is? There's a parallel part to that for Jews, which is they wear a costume and a mask to play with the idea that not only is God not spoken, but our real selves are not spoken because we hide behind masks. And the spiritual exercise should be to become more vulnerable and unmask ourselves to people. So there's a playfulness, but there's a deep story behind that. That's also a gift for us to be friends, to have Jewish friends, to be friends with a synagogue. that we would have the challenge of trying to name God's presence where God has not been named, and where we would think about the masks we wear. So these are gifts of our modern setting of living in Ottawa, and I would add them to the journey we have of saying, well, this well of water gushing up to eternal life, this well Jesus speaks of, it's not the water bottle I didn't bring you. It's Jesus' presence himself. Did you hear that banter back and forth between Jesus and the woman? There was almost times where it felt like, should I read this as ironic and mocking? Or should I read it as serious and pensive and I wonder? The tone isn't there, but so we wonder, how did this conversation become so extended and engaged? And in it, this woman who is rejected by her neighbors and comes to the well all by herself, rises in the estimation of her community because she has felt this presence of God through her conversation with Jesus. If we think of our community as a pilgrimage, it's important to recognize that the people you're sitting with might have the presence of Jesus today in a way that will bless you. And that you might have it in the way you unmask yourself and be real and vulnerable. And collectively, as we journey through Lent, we will become an intentional community looking for the spring gushing up to eternal life, having our thirst quenched by it, and being more able to love others. Amen.